I don't know what real anymore.
I don't look concerned.
Hey, Jacques. You ever hear of a mosquito truck? Because you're coming one right now.
I'm just following orders.
I see. It probably was you. But, I'll take the blame. You can get this thing off.
Civilized nations.
And this is a brutal dictator. But he invented the calculator. A way to try him.
You can do so in an environmentally friendly way.
I don't look concerned.
I don't belong in the world. Everywhere I turn, there's something blocking my escape. He's trying to take me back somewhere. I can't fight anymore. I don't know what's real anymore.
I don't look concerned.
Hey, I just got here. Have any idea? I don't know where the hell Fredericks is. I'm not even sure where the hell this is. Sounds like a band tuning up. Well, hopefully it'll be something exciting.
Frederick's Mind Thing, episode number 12, coming at you.
To realize that you are nothing is the ultimate form of wisdom. To realize that you are everything is the ultimate form of love.
Where'd you hear that one, Fredericks?
Does that seem like a contradiction?
More like they're diametrically opposed.
I think that's appropriate.
Oh.
Life and death seem like a contradiction, but they're pretty closely connected to each other. As are
sleeping and waking,
light and darkness, inside and outside.
Yeah.
See what I'm getting at, right?
Yeah, got it.
We exist in the in-between states.
The hypnagogic state.
That's where our ego...
Our?
...comes into play.
Yes,
the homunculus in our Cartesian theater.
There you go with our homunculus.
Who's watching what goes on outside our brains, outside our eyes, outside our heads. And who filters? Who decides what to focus on?
The zombie. Same guy that drives a car.
Homunculus.
Okay.
The ego.
No.
Really? But really? An illusion. You can survive without one. It's not necessary. It's a creation of our frontal lobes.
According to Freud's structural model of the psyche, the ego is located between the pleasure-seeking, pain-avoiding id and the super-perfectionist super-ego. Freud theorized that the ego would find balance between the two extremes and learn to delay its own pleasure and even tolerate pain and accept a reduced amount of pleasure in order to interact successfully with reality.
I don't know what real anymore.
The difference between the beautiful and the sublime lies in the fact that beauty seems like something we could possess. A beautiful woman, a beautiful car, a beautiful home, a beautiful painting. But the sublime, particularly that feeling you get when you're looking off over a mountain,
the oceanic feeling.
Overlook, and you see the hugeness of the world, and you realize your smallness. You feel like you could be swallowed up by it, be lost in it. Your ego is dissolved, and many people feel a bit of panic. This often happens as well in psychedelic experiences and religious experiences. People might feel like they're dying, but they're not really dying. It's just their ego is dying. That feeling of separateness is dying. But you can let it go. Let the boundaries dissolve. You'll be all right. Frequently struck by the thought that this whole ego construction thing is another way of us being controlled.
The old ego trap.
And for all the fun of Facebook, MySpace, and Twitter, aren't we really just looking back at ourselves?
Yeah.
Defining ourselves by our friends or followers.
Are they real friends?
That's not really us.
Who are they following?
It's an illusion.
Who are you looking at, Fredericks?
Heard a story about this Hollywood producer that died, and these CEOs, big money executives come in, and they were actually pounding on his casket, cursing him.
Damn you! Damn you!
I think the reason why that we're doing that is because everything these people do is ego. From what they own, to what they create, to what they can show you.
What else is there?
And that guy's death reminded them that this existence is just temporary. And they're going to be absorbed back into the whole. They just differentiated for a little while.
Which whole?
You always go back to where you come from. That's a cycle of nature. Transmuted, perhaps. Transformed. But still, you came from somewhere, you're going to go back to it. Just like a seed grows into a tree, reaches to the skies, basks in the sunlight, feeds on the nutrients. Then it dies and dissolves and returns from whence it came. Just like you will.
A thought, once observed, no longer contains its emotional charge. The simple act of observing the way your mind works, the messages that you are presenting, distances you enough so that you can remove the emotion from it and look at it rationally. And frequently, once you do that, you'll observe how your choice of words that you use in your mind to express your thought and the images that you generate are but one way of looking at a particular situation or issue. Which leads me directly to another observation about thinking, or a thought about observing, however you want to look at it. Is that as a human being with a well-developed frontal lobe, thinking is an inevitability. We are going to think. However, just because you have a thought doesn't mean you have to keep it. You can let it go.
This can be very helpful when one is meditating.
If one meditates, he meant to say.
Is rather than trying to block thoughts, is you let them come and you let them go. And I'm reminded of what Alan Watts said about the geese flying over the lake.
The geese have no intention of leaving their reflections upon the water, and the water has no intention of trying to keep them.
Something like that. This is where I'm at right now. That's what I was thinking about. Now I'm gonna let it go.
Don't look concerned.
I'm just following orders.
I think. Hey,
can you say Frederick's my thing?
No.
Please?
No. Frederick's my thing.
You're listening to
Frederick's my thing.
We're about the end of the episode, kids.
Thank you.
lot more to say about ego. Upcoming episodes. Sure. Any comments, questions, complaints? FONPR@FredericksMindThing.com.
Frederick's of Newport Richie. Chance, we haven't even had a chance to listen to him.